previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
You can take us along for the ride. Algoa FM Breakfast with Wayne Lee and Charlie Tier, 10 to 7 now.
Now, we have seen and experienced various business sectors trying to cope, whether it be financially, even mentally, with the onslaught of COVID-19. And another important sector is education. Teachers in particular having to cope. And in the words of Dr. Alicia Porter, who's a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists, who says, and I quote, "Teachers face challenges of having to rapidly to adapt to remote learning and unfamiliar technology, and how to support learners who didn't have access to technology while juggling the needs of their own families and fears of contracting COVID-19, as well as coping with the losses of loved ones and colleagues." Dr. Porter, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Doctor, what are you currently seeing with regard to the mental well-being of our educators?
We're definitely seeing an increase in anxiety, an increase in depression, and increase in stress among educators. Which I also think, you know, we've focused a lot on children, and we know that children and adolescents, there is an increase in mental health concerns. But as well as the children, the teachers themselves are struggling, because we're expecting teachers to provide, you know, the psychological support and support to learners, but you know, they are struggling mentally to cope themselves.
Doctor, you know, you touch on the point that teachers who are meant to be offering psychological support are suffering themselves. And, you know, it's a trickle-down effect. The school leadership is under immense pressure and highly stressed, which then filters down to the staff complement, who may feel the adverse effects of a burdened leadership. And this then filters down to the children, who are negatively affected by frazzled teachers. And then you add parents to the mix who are stressed themselves. And I'll be honest, you know, as a parent, as much as one is understanding and empathetic towards teachers' challenges, it's also concerning that your child may be exposed to a teacher who's battling emotional and mental health. That being said, it's obviously, you know, a synergistic kind of relationship. How can parents support?
I mean, I think that it's an effort on all levels. And like you say, that is why it's so important that we promote the well-being of teachers, so that they can assist. Because, like, you know, I work in a child and adolescent clinic. It's the teacher more often than not that sends or refers the child, that says, you know, we have a problem, it's not okay. You know, so it's all of us working together. But I mean, in the home, parents can support their children by, one, acknowledging that, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic, encouraging that we speak about and talk about, you know, fears and anxieties and all of these things. And also even just getting children involved, like, how can you play your part? Or if there's something that you would like to do during this time to offer support. And so I do think that it's an effort all around. So we all need to assist, or we all need to look after our well-being. But the emphasis on the teachers at this point is because teachers are our eyes and ears on the ground, particularly in the mental health sphere. And so it's just to sort of focus in on teachers' mental health, because there have been studies that show if, you know, a teacher is not okay, that does impact the teacher-student relationship. I'm sure even as an adult, you can remember those teachers you had who impacted you positively and those who impacted you negatively. So it is important, because it is a ripple on effect, like you say.
Yes, and in fact, that's what I was referring to, is how parents can support teachers. I hear you on how we can support, you know, our children, but how do we support the teachers? You know, you've got a lot of parents who end up being Karens, as we say, and who harass teachers. That's obviously one of the ways that you can kind of support, but what are some of the other ways that we can work along with teachers?
I mean, I think also just being, because I've heard a lot of, you know, complaints in the sense that, you know, teachers get lots of holidays and teachers, they've been paid while staying at home and all of those things. So I think even just a little bit of understanding, or, for example, some of the challenges that they face, where teachers are concerned, for example, where children are sent to school when they have COVID symptoms. So it's just supporting teachers, just acknowledging, you know, the work that they do. We did so for our healthcare workers during the pandemic. You know, we put out chairs in the, you know, we came out in support of them. And I think the same needs to be done. And there's a lot for just supporting, and rather than being critical of our of our teachers. And yes, mm-hmm. while they do have holidays, if I sat with 30 kids, you know, for a long period of time, I think that the rest is necessary. So it's not that you get lots of holidays. Those holidays are needed because there's a lot of stress. So it's how do we manage this stress and how do we support teachers rather than antagonize or be critical of them?
Doctor, I mean, teachers, obviously there's this expectation that they are supposed to be okay and fine all of the time. They're supposed to smile and be happy all of the time. So you'll have many teachers that may be suffering from mental health issues, maybe on the brink of a breakdown, but we are unaware of that. What are the signs that we could possibly look out for going forward, just to see that a teacher is not doing well? What do we need to look out for?
I mean, the one thing is that if you have a problem or if it starts to impact your work. So, you know, if there's absenteeism, for example, that's one of the red flags. But also just within the individual, if there's a persistence of symptoms like, for example, there's problems with sleep, there's problems with appetite, there's problems with energy levels, things that you used to enjoy, you no longer enjoy. But it is now impacting more. It's not temporary. It's not just a few days of, you know, poor sleep. It has become persistent and just struggling to keep up with demands, you know, not meeting deadlines, and all of those things are red flags that it is maybe more than just a little stress and that there may be anxiety and depression on the horizon.
Okay, just back to the school support, school leadership. How can they support teachers? And in fact, having said that, who then supports school leadership itself? Are there any interventions in place or in the works from the Department of Education or perhaps from the SA Society of Psychiatrists even?
I mean, at this point in time, I don't know if there are any interventions within the Department of Education. At this point in time, there aren't in terms of solid, this is part of the program interventions. No, there are none that I know of at this point in time.
Doctor, for teachers who are listening right now and experiencing this, what practical steps can teachers take to maintain their own mental health and reduce stress levels? I know you also referred to the 33-30 approach as well.
So, I mean, with teachers, there are practical things that you can do, which doesn't require you to take leave. You could do it in your home environment, within the school environment. So just things like choosing how you spend your time, things like just getting enough rest, just eating a good meal and keeping hydrated. Also, just setting realistic expectations. You know, we have to appreciate that we are in the middle of a pandemic and it's not business as usual. So the way we functioned before, we may not necessarily be functioning in the same way. So we need to set small, realistic goals. And then also just maintaining connection, that WhatsApp, you know, WhatsApp or that phone call to a friend, a colleague, a family member. And then the 33-30 approach is just ways that we can manage stress on a day-to-day basis. Because you can appreciate that a constant stress over a prolonged period of time is really not good for us. So the 33-30 is, if you have, it's a way to regulate. It's a way to just pause and regulate. So it's a way to what I call micro recharge during a day. So if you have 30 seconds, you could do something like just taking deep breaths or washing your hands mindfully. If you've got 3 minutes, it would be to do like a quick household chore or make a quick phone call. And if you have 30 minutes, you can do something like just sit and watch television or just have a long pampering bath. So this would just help to release that, you know, panic or stress in those moments. It would just help to regulate your nervous system. So it's not a constant escalation of the stress, but we're actually just pausing to regulate throughout the day. And that's just something practical you can do within your environment, and not just teachers, for anybody really, where stress is a concern. We want to just regulate our stress throughout the day.
Doctor, we're going to have to wrap it up there, but thank you so much for your insight. I hope that some teachers listening this morning can take that and use the knowledge that you have provided us with this morning. Dr. Alicia Porter, thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr.
Bye-bye.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.